Our star guest today is a composer, arranger, and pianist who lives in the Bronx in New York. He studied in San Francisco and New York with some of the leading musicians of the day. Jim Latté is one of those people who bring music to the world and leave us all a little bit better. Jim Latté, welcome to Abbey 104.
Thank you, Andrew. It's great to be here.
Composing, arranging, playing the piano. Where did all this come from? Did you have a piano at home that you tinkled when you were about two?
Well, no, I was a little older than that. I was about four, and we we had a very strange family friend who started one business after another, and they were all unmitigated disasters. And at one point, he got it into his head to open a piano and organ shop in our small town that I grew up in. And he ordered too many instruments, so he asked my parents if they could take one of them until he sold something. So we got this horrible little electric organ, and it was sitting there. And my parents, I guess this is good news, although it's embarrassing. They loved Lawrence Welk. So they would watch Lawrence Welk every Saturday night. And then I would sit there because I was a little kid. And then I started picking some of the god-awful tunes off of the TV on the organ, which intrigued them. So they got rid of the organ and bought an old piano. And I started taking piano lessons. First from this guy who had had a big band in the 30s. So I was learning, learning how to play, but also learning jazz theory. It was like the beginning of my arranging because of that, and how to improvise and that sort of thing, which is kind of a different way than what some people do, because my focus is classical now. So then he got really old and really sick, and my mother took me kicking and screaming to this classical piano teacher who had oddly enough studied with Darius Milhaud,
Wow.
the composer, and that was the beginning of it. She had me composing, she had me playing, and I fell in love with Haydn and Beethoven and the whole gang, as it were.
Now, you are very much a composer and arranger. Have you ever been tempted to go the other side of the stage and sing and perform that way, or has your love always really been amongst the music writing, the creation?
I've performed a lot, but not singing. I've sung in choirs, which is a good place for me if I'm going to sing, because everybody else can. I mean, I used to get into choirs because my ear is really good, so they knew I could keep the whole bass section on pitch. But you don't want to hear my solo singing voice. Yeah, I've performed in with orchestras and in classical ensembles, piano trios, various different things. And I've performed, this was conducting, but with in musical theater, which is how I met Mary, actually.
Mary Lartey has been a guest on the program a few months ago, and it's lovely to see her in the background as we started our conversation today, Jim. You did study music in San Francisco and in New York, and you did study with some big luminaries, didn't you? You studied with Leonard Rosenman in New
Yeah,
York.
they have a movie composer. Also with, well, I studied piano at the Manhattan School of Music with Robert Helps, but Robert Helps had as much, what shall we call it, disdain for authority as I did. I had asked the school if I could take composition lessons, and they said no because I didn't have enough credits yet. So I told Robert, and he said, well, so he was I was getting my piano lessons every week, but I was also getting composition lessons because the man was a fabulous composer.
I guess he also saw something in you, didn't he? He wouldn't have given you that help if he didn't see that there was real
Probably
promise
not.
there.
And we seem to be kindred spirits. We got along just fabulously, and I learned an immeasurable amount from him.
You say that classical music is your forte, and definitely that is what comes over. But you did allude there that you have worked in musical direction for musical theatre, haven't you, as well?
Yes, I've done quite a lot of that. And as I said, my wife and I met in a production of Kismet, which is sort of perfect, given the meaning of the word kismet.
Can I take you to your classical work when you are composing? Somebody like me, I haven't got the foggiest how you would even start. So, do you work from a commission where somebody says, I want you to write something for this particular occasion? Or do you sometimes wake up and think, I've got a really good start in my head, I'm going to develop that?
Usually it's the latter. I have had a few commissions, but usually I'll be out for, I like walking, so I'll go for walks. And all of a sudden I'll start hearing something in my head. I had done a thing once. It was a commission for an orchestra out on the West Coast. And at the time I was working at the Jewish home for the aged in San Francisco, and it wasn't the most cultured bunch in my department. They liked watching sitcoms and then the reruns of sitcoms, and then they would videotape the reruns and then watch the videotapes of the reruns. But I thought, well, why not? So I put up a poster in the hallway, and it had directions to the concert, and that there was a piece of mine on it. And then it said, come hear what Jim hears when he's not on his meds. But none of them showed up. But other people did. But a lot of times I'll just be out for a walk, or I'll just be sitting and all of a sudden something pops up. Or I have this wonderful soprano friend who you might want to get on your show someday, and she lives close at hand to you, Jennifer Coleman, just gorgeous singer. And I started thinking about we had seen a recital that she'd done in Kensington, and we got back to New York, and I started thinking about her and the clarinetist who she'd performed with. And I got this idea, so I ended up setting a bunch of poems for the two of them and for piano. The ideas can come from various different areas.
When you are writing a piece, and in that example you said that you sort of had somebody in mind to perform it, is there an element of rewriting that you can do as a composer based on how you hear it performed, or do you tend to like it performed just how you wrote it?
Well, I like people to put their own, imprimatur on it, as it were, interpretively. Now, with classical music, you can't go off the rails the way you can with pop, there's a wonderful meme out. It's the Star Spangled Banner sung by, some pop singer at a football game. It's the music, and there's notes all over the place because they're searching for the next pitch, basically, because most of them aren't very good. So I like them to perform what I wrote, but there's always an interpretive element in there. For instance, we were just recently in Prague, where the North Czech Philharmonic recorded a couple of my works. And I had told the conductor, I said, look, I've written everything out. I'm meticulous. I write everything very specifically. I said, but I hope you would look at this and see what you need to see so that you can make it yours as well. Because it's a collaborative effort. I mean, a composer can write till he's blue in the face. If nobody plays it, it's that, you know, tree in the forest falling down.
You have been recognized, haven't you? I'm thinking of 2018, I think it was, when you received a Brio or a Brio. I don't quite know how you say it in the
I
States.
Think
But
it's Brio. I never heard anybody say it. I've only seen it written out. But Brio would make sense, but although that just kind of means cold.
Well, it's a Bronx recognizes its own award, and that must have been very special for you because you love the area. You are a person who's very engaged in the area that you live. I know Mary is as well.
Yeah, well, I consider myself a hardcore New Yorker, and I have words I can't say on the radio for anybody that takes issue with that. However, it was kind of strange trying to wrap my head about being one of the Bronx's own. You know, I mean, New York's divided into five different boroughs, and the Bronx being one of them. And we're the one with the roughest reputation. Although, when that singer that I wrote the stuff for from Kensington was here, and I took her for a walk, and she said, "My God, I feel like we're in England. This is a very un-New York, New York neighborhood." So, yeah, but that was exciting, and the award ceremony was exciting because walked in. And it was in this kind of slummy part of the Bronx. So we made it from the, we made it to the place where it was without incident, walked in, and you'd never seen a more delightful hodgepodge of different people from different walks of life. Well, except they were all artistic, but I mean, there were singers, there were actors, there were dancers, there were rap guys. And when I got called up for my award, the rap guys just went nuts, cheering and going, "Yo, Jim!" And it was delightful and unexpected. And yeah.
I suppose at the end of the day, though, Jim, you're all united in music. It may not be the same type of music, but you're all creatives, aren't you?
Right. Yeah. And I had Mary and I had been invited to perform at a cabaret thing downtown a few years ago, and we had this friend of ours from Allison Psycho from Law and Order, who's also a wonderful singer, which is in the Law and Order SVU for several years, and so we were going to perform. And as we walked in the door, the woman who organizes the thing saw me and she goes, "Oh, hi, Jim, you're slumming tonight." And I looked at her and I said, "Well, I don't consider it slumming." I said, on this count, I go both ways because it's music." And actually what we did was quite lovely, but I'm not crazy about rap, that's for sure, but I appreciated their appreciation.
If people want to listen to your music, they can. You've got a couple of CDs that have been released over the years, haven't you?
Yes, and there's going to be another one probably in the early fall, the one from the North Czech Philharmonic.
Jim, as well as that CD coming out towards the end of the year, are you working on anything else at the moment?
Well, I just finished. This is sort of funny. When the pandemic hit in 2020, my entire spring schedule of performances and whatnot got canceled. And I sat around feeling sorry for myself for a couple of days. And then I started practicing and drowned my sorrows in Mozart and Schubert and Beethoven for a few days. And then I got sick of listening to me and started kind of on a marathon writing rampage, if you will. And first I wrote a few small chamber things just in case we ever got to get together again in groups. And then because I've never been accused of being practical, I started writing larger orchestral things. And just recently I finished a symphony, So whether that will ever get played or not, I don't know. But I have hope, seeing as how these other orchestral things that the North Czech Philharmonic recorded got played, there's a shot at it. You don't know if you can ever get anybody to play your stuff or not. I've got a couple of very dusty operas if you're interested.
I'm not sure my voice will be much better than yours for opera, to be honest, Jim, when it comes to it.
I thought you might hand them to somebody else. Not that I don't trust you.
Jim, it's been absolutely wonderful chatting to you today. Do please come back on, perhaps nearer the time of that CD release, and we'll find
Yes.
out a little bit more about that particular album. We will play some of your music now. Just before we do that, can I wish you the very best for the future? Give our love and best wishes to Mary as well. It was great to have her on the program a few months ago, and we'll chat
Yes.
soon.
Good, I hope so. And I've been looking for the escape hatch here. And so who knows, we might be neighbors in the not terribly distant future.
We look forward to it. Jim, I could always do with a co-presenter.
Okay, take care. Thank you very much, Andrew.
There is no